keep your family safe with help from Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Kidde detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and give fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Check out all our Kidde safety products and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football that usually has us gripped at this time of year, but in the current climate has us scratching our heads for things to do. And I'm pleased to say, though, that this week I have been able to pedal up the rural internet where I live and connect with a stalwart of the show, Mr. Dave Anderson. Welcome back to the show, Dave. How are you and yours?
I'm okay, Tim. Thanks. Everything's all right up here. It's strange times, you know. I feel for all the people who are not getting to play. You know, this it's a great time of the year if you're involved in top of the table, cup final, stuff like that, you know. And it's, you know, I feel sorry for them. And for the rest of us, it's just, we've never experienced anything else like it, really, have we, you know?
No, I've seen some footage of yourself doing some practice golf swings in the back garden with a sheet. how are you filling your time, Dave?
My family, I think I've lost the plot. I could be right. I've got, you know, I play golf 4 times a week. So I've got a makeshift golf net made up of an old blanket and 2 props that I managed to buy before, just after lockdown, with a little hardware store. And I went in and I had 2 props left, and I bought both of them. And I think he thought I was the worst panic buyer he'd ever met. You know, it's like, what do you want with 2 props for the line, you know? So I've been doing that. I've been walking most days. I've been doing about 6 miles. The problem is I've been offsetting it with 6 beers most nights. So it's a bit like that on there's a different apps. We've had having a quiz with the lads from a golf club. I've actually been having a few beers when we had some Belfast. I know it sounds strange, but and it's, we're just trying to keep ourselves sort of sane as well as safe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that all this has brought about is there's been a lot more reminiscing, hasn't there? People digging out old photographs. You know, when we're enjoying football seven days a week, as it tends to be, particularly at this time of season, it's easy to take it all for granted.
I swear to you, Tim, you couldn't have set me up better, and you didn't. We didn't speak about this before the recording. I have just received the AFC Wimbledon 10 DVDs of the whole story, you know. And I swear to you, yesterday I watched the FA Vase final. I watched the FA Vase final with the kids, having a laugh with them. And yesterday I watched my first season at AFC Wimbledon. And as we speak, I've just paused it. I wonder if I can put it on so you can hear it. I've sort of got watching the second season now. And I've never done that sort of stuff, like sort of look back and it's brilliant. I'm actually enjoying it. There's lots of players and games you forget about, you know. I've just been sort of having my eyes shut because we've just drawn 6 out of our last sort of 8 league games in this. So I'm going through the emotions again. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And listen, it's a time of reflection in football and in your life, really. And same with, as you say, old photos and food eating, just people. And I think sometimes it's nice to reminisce, and there's always plenty of stories behind each photo, each video, you know.
Yeah, and how are the family coping with Mr. Anderson being at home 24/7?
I think, listen, we've been okay. I've been out. My wife's still working from home, so I've been getting myself out for a couple of hours, and then I've been in the back garden hitting golf balls. And then what we've done, which we haven't done for years, is we've had a family meal every night. You know, around the table and sort of quiz or whatever it may be. So we're just trying to. So it's been good fun, some of it, you know. But Sam, what about yourself, Tim? Everything okay?
Yeah. Well, if anybody follows me on Facebook, they would have seen. I think the madness, a bit like your household, had already hit us before lockdown had come in. So Friday night tends to be Friday night dinner tends to be a special occasion. Last week we all dressed up as dead people and turned up as dead celebrities. Easter Sunday we had a bit of a pub crawl around the house. Various bars were set up around the house and. The kids enjoyed being hosts and hostesses, and we've this week on Friday evening is everybody comes as a tube station, so it's almost like, as you say, you're having meetings with or Zoom meetings or virtual meetings with your mates back in Belfast. It's almost like the crazy gang days of Wimbledon, isn't it? They're, you know, people coming together. You know, we're recording this Thursday evening. Everybody be out Thursday evening. You know, applauding for the carers and NHS. There is a spirit, yes. Around which we tend to see it at non-league games amongst non-league supporters, but not in the in the general public. And as much as some people are facing a real horrible time with people being ill and losing loved ones and that sort of thing, I think everybody's just got to rally around and keep spirits up so that you know, we can move on when we're allowed out.
Yeah. Now listen, the British people are the best in the world. Got to think in this situation, you know, and. I think we're doing okay with it. Last week I had a quiz with the golf lads, and then later in the evening I was having a beer with the lads in Belfast, and I said to them, "This is my social life hasn't been this good for years," you know. Listen, for everyone out there, just stay safe and save lives, and you help with that. Our National Health Service, who are proper heroes, and hopefully we'll come out the other side and get back to everything we love doing.
So the lockdown has brought an end, early end to the season for all but a few at the moment. It's meant a massive change to all of our lives. Hopefully for the majority, that's just a temporary change. But for our next guest, he knows it's almost like a permanent change. After 13 years as manager at his club, he'd already announced his intention to retire at the end of the season. And when that came to an end earlier than expected, he has to toast himself alone at the club. However, an old friend of the show, an old adversary, and drinking partner of my co-host, I thought we couldn't let his retirement from football management go by quietly. So I'm pleased to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show former manager at East Thurrock United, John Coventry.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Well, I'm good, John. It all ended with a bit of a damp squib in the end, didn't it? Disappointed or are you pleased that you didn't get stuck at the bar for that final round?
Yeah, I'm glad I got out, mate. It was looking dodgy. My hand was going in my pocket. I thought I've got to get out of here.
You'd heard Mr. Anderson was in the vicinity and likely to come down and celebrate with you.
No, I'd love Mr. Anderson to have been in the vicinity, and I'd have had a chat with him. That would have been good.
And I saw a picture of yourself at Corringham Road, having to have a beer on your own there.
Yeah, it's quite sad, really, wasn't it? I was feeling all sorry for myself. Somebody had to take the photo, though, didn't they? unfortunately, it was the wife who took the photo, so I wasn't on my own. And now, after about 4 weeks, I'm spending every minute with her. So,
Dave, you were going to say something, sorry.
No, I was going to say that, you know, on the retirement, it's about time. He's been around for 100 years. No, I'm only joking. But to be fair, Johnny, we were just looking back at, you know, at your record. You know, time flies by when you're not thinking about it. And I mean, I remember you assisting Lee Patterson. you know, yeah. And then you took over from Lee, but back in 2007, and we've had a few games between then and that, you know. And but what drew you to the conclusion that it was time?
Well, the first thing I want to do is I want to correct something, because I never actually retired. I resigned.
Okay.
Oh, exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive. I think people put two and two together, the fact that with my age and how long I've been at East Farrow, that it was a retirement. But I tried to make it clear to certain reporters that, no, I'd resigned. Retirement at East Farrow had come to an end. And unfortunately for the club, we fairly recently lost the owner of our club, who was very influential in the club's progress and very influential in my career and time there. So once he wasn't around, things change as they do, and my job just got a little bit harder to do. If I can just leave it at that, I'd appreciate that. It got harder to do, and I thought it's time to get out, and that's what I did.
So there's still an opportunity to make a comeback then?
Well, no, I mean, it's, as I say, I resigned, and I know, as I said, people did think I was retiring, but I think then word got around that I wasn't, and it's been really nice, because I've had a couple of offers in different capacities, not necessarily as a manager, but involved in football. And you know, I massively appreciate anybody that's offered me anything. It's really nice, you know. It's but it's funny, because I've had a couple of offers that I've sat on for the last month, and I've only made a decision as last or yesterday that I am going to get back involved, and I have got another position to go to.
Oh, can you tell us it, John?
I can, yeah.
Go on then.
I've been asked to get involved at Averley Football Club with Mr. Craig Johnston, who has invited me over there to be part of his management team, which involves Mr. Keith Rowland. Don't know if you know anybody from that part of the country, Dave.
John, we had Keith on. Before the lockdown, I can't remember what month. We were talking about the cup run, and that was good. Yeah. Hadn't spoke to him for a while, so it was nice to speak to him, Johnny, you know. So that's a great offer. What capacity over there then?
Well, in the way it's been put to me, so I can go in and work alongside Keith. Keith will be the manager. I don't particularly want a title, really. I don't need a title. Do you know what I mean? It's keeping me involved. I can have. Keith has been really good. I've had a couple of chats with Keith on our own, and just to see, it's very important that these situations work. And I don't think it's a good idea me going in there, having been a manager for 13 years, and sort of, I have to look at this role as being very different. You know, Keith's the manager, and if I can help him and assist him and support him, that is what I think my job is. And I think as a club, obviously they've had a great season last year, a great run in the FA Trophy, and you know, without the league coming to an end, who knows what division they would have been in next season. So for me, to get invited into that setup, he's fantastic, and I want to go there and help, and if I can do anything that pushes him forward, that'll be brilliant.
Well, I think, and you know, I know, sorry, Tim, but I think that it's a great, any manager would want that experience. That's a great one to bounce off, even ourselves, John, in a dugout.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have someone who you know's at a game, who's got experience. You can go, what do you make of it, or what do you think of this? Or it's a great soundbite, you know. So I would say that it could be a wise decision. And Keith's a good lad. He'll take advantage of your knowledge, which is exactly what you want. And maybe a little step back as well. Nice, and takes a bit of stress out of it, Johnny.
Yeah, I think so, Dave. I think that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, I'm not going to be the main man, and I think there's something to be said for that at times, especially as, you know, I mean, I am getting older, like we all are. But, you know, at East Farrow, it was a case of, you know, I was doing a little bit more and a little bit more and then a little bit more, and it all just sort of like caved in on me, really. It was getting too much. And going now to work with Keith, which I'm massively looking forward to, it's something different. Obviously, my love for football is still there. As you know, Dave, it's a passion that never leaves you. And, so I'm really looking forward to it. And, I mean, you talk about sort of Keith being able to call on my experience, if you like. Let's not forget the career that man's had. So, I'm going to be going in and working with a very knowledgeable football man, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a real clever idea to come up with, because, you know, and it's about, you know, when these situations come up, Tim, you know, and we've all got an ego to a degree, but if you've got a bit of level-headedness and you know, people click, it is massively beneficial to the manager to have people to bounce off. You know, it really is. And there's, you know, funny enough, I've did it in a way, John, where not at one club, where I've gone to watch a lot of my old players who are now managers, and they'll always have a beer after it and ask you what you think. It's that sort of, which is nice that they, you know, maybe they ask
it
you,
nice.
They feel they have to, you know, but it's genuinely, you can discuss it, you know, and you just feel that we all have something to offer. We've done thousands of games, and I think to be around one club for you would be, I think it's a real good idea.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I agree.
And as clubs go, it's a shrewd choice as well. You mentioned Keith there. We know about his managerial credentials and as a person credentials as well. And obviously you mentioned Craig Johnson there as well, the chief exec there, and I know him and his wife Lynn very well. And they work very hard, old school non-league people that put in the hours and blood, sweat and tears. But they've also got great facilities there as well, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've been going to watch Averley for years, really, when so I could not play in, because Averley always played on a Monday night, so I would creep over there at their old ground at Millfield, and, you know, we're looking at a big change compared with the previous ground, and their facilities are lovely. Whether you like 3G Astro or not, it's that's where we are these days, and I don't want to get into that one. I might get sacked before I start. but you know what I mean by that. It's the way football's gone, and if it's going to be a progression, then fantastic. And as you say, you know, it's nice of Craig to invite me, give me the opportunity, and yeah, I'm going over there with a well experienced sort of football club based on the people they have around them. So yeah, it'd be nice to be a part of Averley getting some success.
And obviously you said that you spent the last month or so then mulling over a couple of offers, but as a football man and like the rest of us, where we're all, you know, looking for something to do, how have you been spending your time?
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult, but it's been difficult for everybody. But, like, you know, we're talking about football, which is fantastic. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, you know, what's going on out there in the world, it can be a bit frightening. So football can take your mind off of things at times. And as we sit here, like, doing not much else than other eating and drinking and watching telly, you know, we have to appreciate, you know, what we have got. And football will come again, and it'll come back when it's ready. But at the moment, everybody's safe, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, Dave's already said that he's been reminiscing, watching some old videos from his AFC Wimbledon times.
Just been, actually, one of them was just, sorry, Tim.
Yeah.
A couple of games ago, I was at East Thurrock, like on the AFC Wimbledon sort of fail thing. I've got someone sent it to me. John, I'm just sitting reminiscing with myself, really. Yeah, I just paused it to do this, so I'm just
brilliant.
Just I've never looked back, but this week it's sort of, I think the kids are hiding from me because I keep calling them in the room to go, "Would you see this goal?" You know.
That's great.
You touched on it earlier when you mentioned about, you know, the modern game of football. You'll be on that 3G pitch at Averley there. I mean, what else is it? How has management or football changed since you've been involved in it, John?
I don't think it's so much. I think what's changed is players' attitude. Yeah, I think that's the one main thing that stands out. I mean, most managers of our generation will be saying the same. All of a sudden, it's become more about, you know, financial reward than just getting a few quid and having a beer and, you know, enjoying it. But it's changed, and it's changed on the pitch, it's changed off the pitch, and, you know, the Astro brings a different sort of perspective to everything, really. I think you have to look at a different style of player when you're trying to search for a player. The ones that are just happy to edit and kick it and put it in channels, there's always a time and place for that. But now you're looking at more creativity in the player, ball retention, and different qualities now stand out because you're trying to pick a team to play on the artificial.
Dave, you've often discussed these additional roles as consultants within football. Your mind sort of changed over the years as well, hasn't it? You see the value of it more, I guess. Now you're away from the manager side of things.
Yeah, I mean, I was always wary of the title director of football, because I always felt that if someone was being brought in above us as a manager, then what's the deal with that? I think if you've been brought in and the manager knows you, and is, you know, can work beside you and give you a soundboard to bounce things off. You know, who manages the manager is the one. And I grew to listen to people who did it. And there's some people I think go in for the wrong reasons. But I think when you go in for the right reasons, and I think John summed it up by saying he doesn't want a title because he probably doesn't want labelled with that title. You know, of director of football. Whereas if you're in there, you don't need a title. The man's done 5 million games at a top level in non-league, so his name should be his title. So when it's like that, then I think it can work fine, and I think that we can get enjoyment out of it. And as I said, I've done it a little bit myself with just going to watch people who I know watch their teams and have a chat to them after, and I've enjoyed that. The one thing I want to say before we finish with John is that when this is this virus is gone and we've beaten it, and hopefully I do get back to doing the gaffer tapes, your name's on the list, Mr. Coventry. So I'll be coming to see you. So there's, and I won't be taking no other.
No, that'd be great, guys. Hopefully by then I'll be so used to this Irish accent and I'll be able to understand you.
Well,
the one sentence that you always, I never had to say twice, was when you said to me, "What do you want, big man?" I'd say, "Just get me a lager, Johnny." You never ever asked that. You know, that was, you knew that from the word go, so that was fine in my book, mate.
We understood each other.
We did, mate. Yeah, we always had a beer and a chat, no matter how the game had been, and there'd some great encounters, some feisty affairs, but me and Johnny had always sort of found each other at the bar after it and have half an hour, no matter where it was, you know. So
it's the way it should be, mate. It's the way it should
be. Yeah, it is, Johnny, it is. So I've the utmost respect that he knows.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get back to that in a few weeks or a few months' time. And until then, John, thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, telling us your news. John Coventry is the new John Coventry at Avely.
Yes. Yeah. So Johnny, stay safe, mate, and I'll hopefully see you soon.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Dave. I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.
Dave, as a bit of a, I mean, we mentioned about Avely having a great season last season. That didn't equate to the promotion that they were after, but they'll be going for it again next season. But that's a bit of a dream team they've got there for next season.
Oh, it's good. Listen, it'll work, and you know, Keith will understand that the big thing is that when people come in that with more experience than you as a football manager, you would have to think, what's this about? But Keith will understand that John's there to help. And, you know, they've already spoke one-to-one. And it's funny, me and John have been around a long time. And if ever there was proof that there's more than a way to skin a cat, you only have to watch John Coventry's demeanour in a dressing room, on a football pitch in mine, you know, because he's always been quite a quiet guy. Don't get me wrong, I've heard him from the touchline get into his players a bit, but he's always been quite sort of calm, quiet guy. Just a gentleman, really, you know. And I've always had a couple of beers with him, as we've said. So I wish him well in his new role, and I think it's just clever thinking. And I think, you know, maybe it's because I'm at the age where I'm not saying I would want to do this on a full-time basis, but there definitely is something for young, because the game's about young managers now. And if you can get someone like John in and around a new manager, not that Keith's a new manager, he's been around a bit, but for young managers, it'd be great to have nearly a father figure just to bounce stuff off. So I'll be watching with interest when we all get back to football again.
Yeah, I think we might have to find you a hotel somewhere in the Aveley area as well, because that could be a long night if you get over.
Yeah, it could be. It really could. But no, listen, good for us to get the exclusive of it.
So once again, it's time to head on over to virtual non-league paper towers, and welcome back to the non-league football show. It's senior writer at the non-league paper, David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're well.
Yeah, we're well. We hope you are as well. Not much going on in the world of non-league, understandably, but I guess the big news breaking since we last spoke was the end of the sponsorship deal across Step 3 and Step 4 divisions from Beckvictor.
Yes, that's right. It happened last week. The news came out. Quite an interesting one, really. Obviously, Beckvictor... I've had sort of a short spell in non-league in terms of sponsorship. They signed a two-year deal with a one-year option last summer to sponsor the Step 3 and 4 divisions. That decision was came with some criticism from clubs and people involved in non-league, obviously in terms of having a sponsor that is a bookmaker involved. Obviously, as we know, the football betting has sort of a complicated relationship over the years, not only in non-league but the higher levels, and obviously the problems that gambling can bring to people as well. So at that time it wasn't met with a great deal of satisfaction. Although I gather the deal was pretty lucrative. But since then, obviously, as I said last week, Beckvictor, the news came out that they'd decided to terminate the agreement. There was obviously a break clause in the deal, and that's happened. So now, obviously, the search begins to try and find a new sponsor. But I think it's also worth pointing out that this wasn't anything to do with the current situation regarding coronavirus. This was actually something that sort of started happening and discussions started taking place about the end of February, at the start of March. In terms of cancelling the agreement, and I think probably Beckvictor's view was that some clubs weren't completely sort of on board with the sponsorship and adhering to some things, and ultimately they decided to pull the plug.
Yeah, it's always a very difficult one, because you're never going to please everybody all of the time, and it's the leagues are left now in a very difficult position, because it's not the best time to be trying to look for a new sponsor. There's a good chance that the leagues will certainly have to start the season without a new one, so no prize money or benefits in kind to the clubs at a time when they themselves are struggling financially.
Yes, it's obviously a very difficult period to try and find a sponsor willing to hand over that sort of money, but, you know, particularly with sort of given the uncertainty surrounding next season and the current times as well. Yeah, it's very difficult. So it is an issue. I think there's a feeling that some of the money will be able to be carried over into next season because, of course, steps 3-7 have been cancelled and the leagues haven't counted. So that sort of prize money can be carried over. But obviously, that, you know, we don't know what the situation will be for next season. And then there's still the sort of long-term problem after that, really, of sorting things out then. So, yeah, quite a lot to be sorted out. Not great timing for the leagues. You know, it's not good to sort of have that uncertainty. I wouldn't say it's a huge, drastic problem for steps 3 and 4. To have this, but obviously long term and sort of probably within 12 months or so, that, you know, the divisions will need a sponsor, will need a backer.
Yeah, and I've spoken earlier on in the program about that, with Dave Anderson, about people reflecting on their situation within the wider world, but also football and the way football moves on from here when we can get going again. And I guess that's a similar state that the leagues now find themselves in, that, you know, football is going to have to look at itself as to, you know, where the money goes, where the money's made and where football wants to go. As I spoke earlier with Dave Anderson about this community spirit that the nation appears to have found again, and everybody running around, helping each other, supporting one another, which is something that we've seen in non-league over the years. And it's one of the great appeals why we love non-league. But it'll be great to move that groundswell into your local community non-league club.
Yes, that's quite interesting to hear Dave talking about that. Obviously, I think things will change quite a lot after we get through this. As I've said, we don't know what will happen next season, but I think in future seasons, the landscape of football and for non-league will be different. I've heard other managers speaking about how players won't be able to, or at least they think that players won't be able to demand the amount of money, and equally clubs won't be able to pay that sort of money anymore. I think it will put a perspective on things, and it'll be interesting to see how it changes football, really. I think it's been quite an eye-opener in the weeks that we've had, that seemingly it's like a sort of deck of cards, a sort of a card pyramid where you take the bottom one out and then it all falls down. I think it has shown that finances in football and money in football, when something like this happens, it just sort of shows how vulnerable everything it is. And clearly, I don't think it can be in that sort of position where suddenly something like this happens and then it's such a huge, drastic problem for clubs, and clubs are talking about not having enough money to keep going and be on the verge of, you know, going out of business after sort of 2-3 weeks of sort of struggle, really. I think it has been an eye-opener across non-league, but also in the Premier League as well, where we know there's millions and millions of pounds which revolves around the television deals. But I think you know, even for them, it has sort of maybe opened their eyes to sort of things needing to change.
Yeah, and it's strange because we would have been looking forward to the penultimate week of the main season ahead of us. And then I always say, you know, people say, oh, the close season, it's the quiet, the downtime for clubs. But anybody that's involved behind the scenes at their club knows that it's actually probably the busiest time of the year, because there's the, you know, pitch repairs that are being done. There's a maintenance within the clubhouses. All of those things, we now know we're on another three-week lockdown. All of those things that would have been done in that period as the season finished can't be done. So that's putting clubs behind as well. There's we spoke with Pat McManus, the manager at Brockenhurst FC in the Wessex League last week, who run on the spring bank holiday over the weekend. They run a big fundraiser, which is called Brockfest, which is like a beer festival, bands, and that sort. And that's the sort of thing that pays for them to survive for the rest of the season, the season ahead. They can't do that this year. So football is going to be in a very different place when it does restart.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's an interesting point about saying about groundwork that has to be done during the summer, maintaining pitches. Yeah, it was one of the things I was speaking to Ant Smith, Concord Rangers chairman, about a few weeks ago, in terms of when their FA Trophy semi-final might be played, if it is played. And he was saying one of the things they have to consider is that they were putting a new irrigation system in. So if they had to suddenly sort of host one of those ties, one of those first leg games, second leg games down at Concord, they might have a problem. Like you say, it's all these sort of things that people don't see during the summer that has to be taken into account. It was another one of those issues where if you said, well, let's try and finish the season at some point, whether that be in the summer, that was one of the other points that was raised about, well, what about this? And as we know, there's no ideal decision or solution to the current issue. More things for non-league clubs to think about, and in particular the decision makers at the top as well, when determining when football might come back.
Well, we're still a few weeks away yet from when we'd normally be getting details of the FA Cup draws and the FA Vars, FA Trophy draws. But as you say, that we've still got last year's competition hanging over us, and every delay has a knock on for the rest of the season. Yeah, I think the step three season is due to start certainly across two of the leagues on August the 8th, which again is fast approaching. And at the moment, people can't make decisions because we don't know where we really are or where we're heading. And it does seem to be, a groundswell of opinion that football needs to make decisions that really are beyond its own control.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it was said throughout this whole situation about how difficult it is, really. You know, there's nothing to look back on in previous years as to how it was done then or take things from that. It's just a situation that's so difficult, really. I think the main thing is coming through it with the clubs still here for next season or whenever that is, making sure that people still have a football club to go to on a Saturday and to support. I think that's the main thing ultimately when we come out of it. And of course, obviously, the health of the people involved with these clubs, the supporters, players, managers, etc., that they're still here as well.
Yeah, and obviously we say about people considering their football future, where we go beyond lockdown. One piece of news I did note this week, Tony Reid and his assistant Martin Lee leaving Westfield FC in the Isthmian South Division, Central Division, looking for a new challenge they've got different ambitions, I guess, from the club they were going at. And I think a lot of people are sitting down and just reevaluating where their place is in football at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I spoke to Tony today, actually, for a bit in Sunday's paper, and he was saying about, his achievements there at the club. Obviously, he took them from the combined counties into step four, somewhere the club hadn't been in their 75-year history. In their first season at step four, they got into the playoffs. This season, they were right in the thick of it again. And I think maybe the club probably looked at that and probably thought, you know, if we're going to have another season next year where we might be in the same situation, going up to step three might be a little bit too far for us at the moment. I think maybe the feeling at the club is that they just want to consolidate a little bit before they consider going up to step three, because it is another big jump. And it's really more about things like traveling as well and extra costs and trying to compete in that way. But the job Tony Reid's done there has been excellent. He's had a huge amount of success in the 4 years there. I think I was looking at some of the stats earlier, and he's won 63% of the 165 league games that he's taken charge of. So phenomenal record, and I'm sure there'll be clubs out there looking at his services. He's a very ambitious manager. He wants to try and manage as high as possible. And hopefully he can find a club that can fulfill that. I think it probably, maybe maximise what he could do at Westfield. And like I say, the club want to maybe just relax a little bit for next season and sort of take it a little bit easier in that respect. But I'm sure Tony Reid's services will be sought after.
Yeah, well, that's certainly an interview I'll be looking forward to reading in this weekend's paper. What else can we expect to read in the non-league paper on Sunday morning?
Yeah, so we've got plenty in there again this week. We've spoken to Chris Wilder, who is the Sheffield United manager, of course. He started his career in non-league with Alfreton, also managed Oxford, winning promotion from the conference in 2010 at Wembley. Since then he's moved through the leagues and now he's right at the top with Sheffield United taking on the best in the business. So it's great to hear from him, sort of reliving his stories from his non-league days. We also hear from, in a similar vein, from Stuart Pearce as well, who of course started his career out in non-league with Wealdstone. So we've got another nice piece with him. I've spoken to Paul Martin, who was the Romford manager until this season when Glenn Tamplin took over and moved him on. He spent 15 years in charge. He did a great job. He's taken up the role at East Thurrock, following on from the great job that John Coventry did there. So I caught up with him to find out a bit more about that. And to save everyone some time, I'll end it there because I could go on forever about what's in the paper this week, but I won't. But there's plenty in there for everyone at all levels.
And it's important for people to remember that if you can't pick up a copy because you're on lockdown and can't get to your news agent, you can subscribe digitally. So take a look at the non-league paper website or social media sites, and you can find the best way of making sure that you pick up your copy either in physical form or digital copy on a Sunday morning. David, thanks for joining us again on the Non-League Football Show, and look after yourself.
Brilliant. Cheers, Tim.
So that's it for this week. Thank you to Dave Anderson for joining me.
Yes, it's great to talk to you, Tim, and John, and stay safe, mate.
Yeah, it's that's the important thing, isn't it? We can reminisce as much as we like, but we need to stay indoors, stay safe, stay positive, and hopefully we can get back and enjoy some football very, very soon.
That's it, mate.
Thanks to, of course, to our guest, John Coventry, with his exclusive news. And a big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's on Twitter as well, at DaveAnderson78. Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker. Myself, at Tim Fuel. You can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites as well. And don't forget, the non-league gaffer tapes are also there. Hopefully we can get back up and running as soon as we're all allowed out. Take care of yourself, folks. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA